Twilight Zone. It was total fantasy. It was like had no basis in reality. That not only will they have complete one day have complete religious freedom, but the fact is, but the government, Russian government itself, will assist them in their observances and help them emigrate there to Israel and help them live Jewish lives for those who choose to stay in Russia. And that's and because he said because and when that happens, that will be the sign that the redemption and the beginning of the process of the resurrection is becoming a reality. Because that's the sign when the material world is no longer antagonistic towards Judaism. When the physical world that we know is no longer in a position of an adversarial position to Jewish life and to spiritual life. But rather, it's transformed into something which is positive, inclined and it actually assists and helps out. That is the sign that we have neared the completion of this process of transforming the physical. It's interesting, just talking about life after death, on this topic itself we see that the tremendous advances, even though we don't have actual resurrection just yet, but we see something very amazing. That we see that things which traditionally rendered a person by Jewish law dead, or at least he had certain, or at least it was assumed that he would, his death is imminent, and therefore he there were certain laws that applied to such an individual. Today, we see people actually being brought back to life. When you take out a person's heart, he's legally dead, and yet we find today they're making that there are heart transplants where the person's heart is removed and they replace it with a different heart. And he's not dead, it's the same person, he's still alive, he's not dead. So we see how even in the physical sciences we could see examples with our own eyes how we're getting close to the situation. Sometimes we think about resurrection, we can't imagine it. Death is it, that's it, it's final, the body decomposed. What do you mean you're going to reconstruct a body? The Talmud says that there's one bone by a Jew never decomposes, and that from that one bone the entire body will be reconstructed. And in fact, it says that this meal that we eat, the meal of Malav Malka, the meal that we eat after Shabbos, that nourishes that bone. What gives the bone, this bone, the nourishment that causes that it should never be destroyed, is the food that we eat at this meal, the meal sending out the Shabbos. And I heard from Rabbi Nissen Mengel, who was a teenager in Auschwitz, in the camps, and he said he had actually gotten to the point, he's from the few people who got to the point where they were actually working in the crematorium, who survived. Most people, once you got to the crematorium, the next step was you got thrown in. And he says, he remembers, after they would burn the bodies, and they would take out the ashes, he would see these little bones in the ashes. But he would see that there was one little bone that he saw, countless, all the other bones would be completely ash and pulverized, and this one little bone, they would see, and they said, everybody saw it, they all knew that there was this one little bone that was not affected by these blast furnaces. And but today, when you talk about reconstructing a body, so the truth is, the Talmud brings many great people who came to the sages and said, how could this be? So they gave all kinds of answers. If God can create something from nothing, so you can recreate something from something, like what's the big deal? But today we can actually see, with cloning, we see how they can take one cell, and from that one cell reconstruct an entire being. From that one cell. So we're being given opportunities to experience with our own eyes how in the material world a lot of these ideas and beliefs and concepts are actually becoming a part of our reality. And again, the reason why these things are happening, the reason why these things are taking place, is because, as the Rebbe says, that we have to start adjusting to this new reality and start living our lives to get out of the traditional mode of seeing things, of seeing the material as a contradiction to seeing involvement in the material world as a contradiction to living a godly life. The opposite, in order to fully prepare for the Messianic age and the resurrection, which we could see ourselves is actually unfolding before our eyes, so we have to make that adjustment and prepare ourselves by shifting out of the mode of seeing religion as in conflict with the world, clashing with the material world, and instead looking for opportunities and ways to take the material world and utilize it as a way and means to express and to connect to God. And the Rebbe says, and if we do that, then those of us alive in our generation, in the Talmud it says that it says righteous people, their bodies do not decompose. Righteous people, their bodies do not decompose. But even those righteous people whose bodies do not decompose, and there have been many cases of bodies which we know of. I mean, great Jewish leaders whose bodies were moved many years after they had passed away, and their bodies were completely fresh. But it says that even those bodies are never decomposed. 1 hour before the resurrection, those bodies will decompose, will return to dust, because in order to be resurrected as this new eternal body, they have to go through decomposition, even for only 1 hour. In order to experience the creation of this new body, of this new resurrected body, which will live forever, which will live for all eternity. So the Rebbe says, but the people of our generation, we have the option, we have the ability that if we really, we have the ability to transform ourselves, to see through that our material lives become so infused with godliness that it won't even be necessary for us to die first and decompose and be resurrected, because it says those people that are alive at the time of the resurrection will have to die. Those that didn't decompose will have to decompose. Those will have to die for 1 hour, decompose, and resurrect. The Rebbe says that we should see, because the process was much longer and much more drawn out, it took many thousands of more years than projected. Therefore, we've reached such a state that we have the capacity to refine our own bodies to the point that we don't have to go through the refinement, we don't have to go through the process of dying first and then being resurrected. We can go straight to eternal life without, don't pass go, don't collect $400. Go straight. So, this is the call of the hour, and this is for us, it's our job to stop worrying about life after death, and we're supposed to be focusing on not so much life after death, but eternal life. How to achieve, how to connect, to reveal the body's capacity, the body's potential for eternal life, without having to experience, going through, God forbid, the process of experiencing first life after death. And we should actually merit to see the fulfillment of that and all the other promises and prophecies connected to the redemption immediately in our time. Any questions?
I saw this on the front of a magazine that had the saying, and we're camping to Yafa Shah Achat Ba'olam Hada, I mean, Kala Hayim Ba'olam Haba. And I was very surprised when I heard it.
Right,
it's very interesting. 1 hour in this life is better than the whole lifetime in the future.
Right, so there the whole lifetime of the world to come is referring to the afterlife. There's a statement in the Talmud which says that it's better 1 hour in this world of repentance and good deeds than all of the afterlife. So the question is why? Why should that be the case? The afterlife is the reward for life in this world. How could it be that 1 hour in this world is better than the afterlife? It also says the other half of that statement is that all the pleasures of this world don't equal to 1 hour in the afterlife. All the pleasures that a person can possibly accrue in a lifetime in this world do not equal 1 hour in the afterlife. And all of the afterlife does not equal 1 hour of good deeds. So how could that be? The answer is because whatever, all the spiritual delights of the spiritual world don't equal the level of connectedness to God that one accomplishes through doing a physical good deed. But the problem is that we don't yet experience, we don't see it in a revealed way, we don't experience that connectedness that we accomplish with a good deed. But the fact is that all of the spiritual revelation of the afterlife doesn't equal 1 hour of good deeds in this world. Because with a good deed, is you're taking the physical, you're relating to God through a material object. And that will ultimately be revealed to be a far, far greater connection to God than anything that can be experienced in the spiritual world. Anyway, you have to feed the Lisbon. You don't want... That's the name of the bond, the Lutz, and make sure that...
We want to thank Levine for welcoming us in their home. He gave us the ability to feed our Lutz bond. And thank you very much.